it's time for Homegrown on 94.7 WPBC LP Charlottesville with your hosts Clinton Johnston and Leslie M. Scott Jones, Charlottesville's only radio show devoted to local arts. And now,
good morning, Sunday morning. Whether you are an art maker, an art breaker, an art faker, or an art partaker, welcome all, because of course all are welcome to Homegrown, your show about local art. I'm the one that they call Clinton. This show is brought to you by the Blue Moon Diner, and I am here with the woman who takes the punk out of spunk, Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Well, good morning, Clinton. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Leslie?
Well, you know, it's really early on Sunday morning.
It's no earlier than it usually is on Sunday morning.
Yeah, I don't know, just for some reason. I guess it's
what
because...
What was your Saturday night like?
My Saturday night was actually quite low-key.
Really?
Yes, I have a friend in from out of town, so we, like, ordered Chinese, and we actually... She had not seen... Hold on to your seats here, people.
All right.
She had not seen the new Gilmore Girls... From Netflix. She had
what?
Not seen it. I know.
What?
Crazy town, right?
Insane.
I know. So we ordered massive amounts of Chinese food and watched Gilmore Girls. And yeah, and the whole time, it was so funny because she's like, I'm not watching it. Suki's not in it. I'm not watching it. And I was like, no, Suki is in it. She's like, oh, okay. Well, then I'll watch it. And of course, Suki doesn't show up until the very last episode.
Uh-huh.
All three of the first three, she's like, where's Suki? I'll see her. Where's Suki? I'm like, oh, she's coming. She's coming. She's like, and Jess ain't here. I'll see Jess. I'm like, he's coming. You just watch. It's okay. He's coming. Yeah. But it was a pretty chill evening. You know, some girl time.
Some Gilmore Girl time.
Some Gilmore Girl time. Yes. It's fun.
Frightening. Absolutely frightening.
Why is that frightening to you? Oh, wait. Because women frighten you.
What? Where did that come from?
You just said that not 5 minutes ago.
I said you frightened me.
Well, you said black women frighten you, so I guess Gilmore Girls wouldn't qualify. Oh, okay. All right.
That was a joke, and now you put that out on the air.
I'm just checking.
Is there any other way that you'd like to throw me under the bus at the beginning of the show? Because you can back the bus up if you want.
Well, you know.
Make sure it hits me on the way back.
Nothing comes to mind right now, but, you know... You never know. Something might pop into my head.
That really got you, didn't it? That one needled you.
It did. You were poking the bear this morning with that one. Oh, my God.
Look at that. I found a new button.
Don't misuse it.
Right. Maybe we should go to our Pence-Trump report. A lot of people are talking about the imminent repeal of Obamacare. I want to go back a little bit in the past, actually, because I found out this fact. I found it really interesting. 2015, back when Marvelous Mike Pence was the governor of Indiana, turns out that the media at the time had some complaints. They were complaining that the governor and his staff were a little bit brusque, that they were blowing off questions. They wanted more access to the governor. They wanted there to be more transparency to the administration as a whole. And so the Pence gubernatorial administration came up with this plan. I don't know if you heard about this. I didn't. This is my first time hearing about this.
I don't think I've heard about this. I try to stay away from Mike Pence as much as possible because he's just an evil human being.
2015, their suggestion was, their thought was, to have a state-run news agency called, it was going to be called, that's right, state-run news agency. It was going to be called Just In, one word, capital I, capital N, like Just Indiana and Just In. I have to give it to him. Great name. Great name. So fabulous. And they were going to have, you know, press secretaries writing stories, and it was going to compete with independent news agencies like television journalism and newspaper journalism.
Are there any independent news agencies anymore? I mean, really, what was he competing with? Okay.
A fair question. So it turns out that there were enough of an independence that when news of this state-run news agency got out, there was a little bit of a backlash.
You would think, yes.
You would think. There were even some jokes about it being Pravda on the plains. And such backlash was there that they trashed the idea, that they dropped the idea totally. Now, here are my thoughts on this.
Oh, God.
It's the weird, it's sort of the uncanny valley of political maneuvers. Uncanny valley, my new favorite phrase. Because either it shows a shocking, shocking disregard for some of our most cherished American ideals of, you know, free press and the Fourth Estate, or an amazing tin ear for what the people are willing to take. Either way, that's not good.
Yeah, not good at all. But guess what? He's our vice president now. He could actually make that happen. Yes, that's a joyful little thought, isn't it?
You haven't been listening to me. He's our de facto president. He is our de facto president. So he's also, of course, Mr. Conversion Therapy for gays. So this leads me to our nonviolent protest suggestion of the week. If you are homosexual and thinking about going up and protesting Mike Pence at any time soon, I would suggest making yourself a T-shirt that says on it, "Just out."
Oh, yes.
One word, just, capital O, capital UT, boom. Not many people will get it, but Mike Pence will get it.
That's right. Ooh, I like that one.
There you go. That's your nonviolent artistic protest suggestion for the week. Use it. It's yours. Let's turn around to our surprise first guest.
Surprise first guest?
I don't think anyone knows that we start the show like this anymore. We have joining us for the first time, both of us. We'll just do it as a joint interview. We'll just throw you both in. You guys are buddies.
Sure.
We have joined us for the first time. It's a special homegrown today because it is arts organization homegrown. Dealing with two arts organizations here in the fair city. We've got Thomas Hendricks, who's program manager of the Piedmont Council for the Arts. Hello, Thomas.
Hello, Clinton. Hello, Leslie.
And we've got Alan Gafinski, director of the Bridge Progressive Arts Institute.
Good morning, good people.
Good morning, both of you. Welcome to Homegrown, your show about local art.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It's
we risked life and limb to be here today.
Indeed.
Yeah, very, very cold. I had to brush my car off, God forbid.
Oh, my goodness. In Virginia, because we were talking earlier, you've got some Chicago time behind you. In Virginia, we call that digging out.
Right.
I call that my cursing time when I have to brush my car. Freaking have to brush snow off my car.
Fortunately, it didn't do that thaw freeze thing yet, so it didn't like crust on. Everyone, if you're just waking up this morning, it's still an easy brush. Get out there, clean your cars off. You'll be glad you did.
It is. It's sort of it's fine powder.
Right.
It is, you know, small rodent squirrels are putting on their skis and enjoying the tops of your car. They're nice. Like, dude, it's awesome.
Right.
I'm picturing that in my head, and it's just amazing.
So why don't you guys tell us about your, for those who do not know, why don't you guys tell us brief about your various organizations. Thomas.
Sure. So I am the programs manager for Piedmont Council for the Arts. We're responsible for such things as Art in Place, which are all these sculptures in the middle of the road that you're probably driving past as we speak.
Indeed. We had Elizabeth as one of our very first guests on Homegrown.
Elizabeth is great, real salt of the earth, but just a fine woman all around. And so this was my first year running the program. Elizabeth was the one who shepherded me through everything. And so we do Art in Place. So that season went up in October of 2016 and will remain through September of 2017 when the new one turns over. So that is a great project to work on. We also do the economic impact study, which I won't spend too much time on because it's not that interesting. But it's basically surveying organizations.
But it's important, right?
Mm-hmm. It's very important.
Good.
It's a lot of surveys, a lot of emailing people, fine folks just like Alan, to take the survey about their audience, about their expenditures, revenues, all those buzzwords, so that these organizations can use that data to advocate on their behalf, whether it's to local government or to their patrons or to their audiences or whoever it be. It's basically getting this super package of information and data to show that the arts mean business, that the arts do contribute to the local economy, and that the arts do matter, ultimately. And then we also have the Rising Stars program coming up in the spring, which is roughly 20 very talented 11th and 12th graders from the area who will show off their skills. We'll give them a little award. We'll have the city government there and everything. And it's just a nice thing to do for some very talented kids that make us feel... make me feel like an underachiever. I don't know what I was doing in high school, but they are.
there's a way in which really, really talented kids are a bittersweet experience because on one level, you're like, wow, that's really amazing. You guys are wonderful. And on another level, which you don't say out loud, is I wasn't that way when I was a kid. Oh, my God.
I'm going to be working for these kids.
Okay, well, it gives you hope for the future, you know?
yeah, definitely. I only think of high schoolers as the people that I were hanging out with who turned out fine, but these kids are on a different level.
Yeah.
Especially with their talents.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, indeed. Alan, tell us about the Bridge PAI.
Yeah, so the Bridge Progressive Arts Initiative is a community arts organization, gallery space, outreach programs, all kinds of great things all wrapped into one. Essentially arts for the sake of communities, and like using arts for the sake of creating better communities and impacting diverse communities all throughout Charlottesville. A lot of great things coming up on the calendar, ramping up into the new year. We're really excited about some of the exhibits that are coming into the gallery in the coming months.
Mm-hmm.
We're excited about a few of the things that few of the events we've got going on to celebrate MLK Day and and then what's the best way to put this? We got an event coming up that is. Inauguration day event.
Okay.
It's essentially.
Do tell, Alan. What's that? Do tell.
Well, yeah, is it going to be filled with all the acts that are refusing to actually
right,
play
yeah,
the actual
absolutely,
inauguration?
Yeah, and it's going to be a 35-day event. We're going to need that much time. It's just intended to be a peaceful. Welcoming sort of event that we're gonna. The more details on it will come. I can give you guys some information on how to find out on our Facebook page and stuff about it. But we're gonna partner with the IRC and gather some donations for refugees and stuff like that.
Cool. IRC, the Independent Resource Center.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. So that's the bridge in a nutshell, right there.
Cool. So, just to put these two organizations in context, how do these two organizations talk to each other? Like, what is the PCA's relationship to an organization like the Bridge? That makes sense?
Yeah, I would say. So, a lot of PCA's work is,
or do they? That's a question. Yeah.
Somewhat, yeah. I mean, there is, the dynamic in Charlottesville is that arts organizations are, as with a lot of nonprofits, always working with each other and in some ways working against each other,
mm-hmm.
just because there's mm-hmm. a certain...
Yeah, talk about that.
A certain size segment of the arts population. Of course, all nonprofits run off of a lot of, patronage and donations, as well as grants and things. And, especially for a lot of grants, you can only... have a certain amount per geographic area. Therefore, Alan and I are choking each other out in the back room trying to get the same grants. But for the most part, I guess...
Alan.
I would say...
Thomas.
To make
nice to see you.
Shing!
To make, a quick distinction, I would say PCA is mainly focused more towards helping other art organizations, and the Bridge is, correct me if I'm wrong, I guess more... people focus more people in their communities, in their neighborhoods.
Right.
Things like that.
Yeah. I mean, so the reality is arts are a crucial aspect of any community, and they're a crucial aspect of what it, you know, of what of the Charlottesville experience. Charlottesville likes the arts, and it's an amazing community for artists and people who appreciate the arts. I think that I personally believe that what's good for one arts organization is good for arts. It's good for the city. It's good for arts organizations throughout the city. And I think that that's one perspective, and that's one that's one perspective that Thomas and his organization is really good at, kind of keeping in the forefront of their organization and what they do, is that they're very pro artists. They're very pro arts organizations, and they're bringing people together in the same way that the Bridge is, on a more like individual community level.
Right.
They're doing on a sort of on a organizational level, which is so crucial and so awesome. Mm-hmm.
I think the more that we as arts administrators in our glorious role and other arts organizations can do to sort of brand Charlottesville as an arts town and boost the art program that we have here, and thereby attract more people to Charlottesville for those reasons, then I guess there's less infighting in some ways, because people are doing better work and we're getting a larger audience to enjoy the things that we do.
Yeah, I love to like steer clear from that sort of perception that like there's this like cutthroat, like everyone's fighting for donations. Yeah. It's a everyone.
I am overplaying it just for the radio.
Right.
No, that's good. No, because our,
oh, yeah, totally.
Because our masters here at the station tell us that we need to have more drama and conflict in our shows. So,
well, we'll just insult each other's appearance for a while.
That's what Leslie and I are here for.
Yeah. By the way, what is up with the sweater this morning?
What is up with the sweater?
Hey, lay off that sweater. He's got a nice sweater on this morning. He's looking good.
Oh, look at him. Oh, he's posing now.
Uh-oh. I'm going to take a picture of that for the website.
Yes. Burgundy wine.
So Thomas, what does, if an artist came to you and asked for help with a project or information about how to get a project going, what would your role be?
So as far as PCA, we have different artist directories that we do. We'll put them in touch with different organizations, grant making organizations, and sort of we're a good first stop, I'll say. So if they come to PCA, we'll say, here are the programs that we could do as far as getting in touch with people, all of our grant databases, things like that, and then say, oh, you might want to check out the Bridge PAI as well, because they have a gallery space, or you might want to go check out Live Arts if you're more of a theater person, and sort of being sort of like a gateway, I would say, to other arts organizations. And so we do get people who just sort of stop by the office and want to know, and treat it as a visitor center, which is great. And so it's nice to be in an organization where you have a lay of the land and you're trying to help out your fellow arts brethren. And so when people come, you can point them to the right direction.
So do you guys still do? I know a while ago you guys did a website listing of all of the artists, organizations that were in town and doing things. Do you still do that?
So for the arts organizations, I don't know that we do, actually. We have one for individual artists in town, which is an open platform, so you can go on anytime and sign yourself up. You don't need any approvals or permissions or anything like that. It's just you go on and you do it. And then as far as arts organizations, I think it's more just a case-by-case basis. Come in, see me. I'll let you know.
Cool. Hey, let's do a drop. 20 minutes past the hour, you're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And this is Homegrown, your show about local art. If you're just joining us, good morning. Have you scraped off your car yet? Have you, Douglas? See, if you had joined us before, you would have gotten that show. Welcome. I'm welcoming you, and I'm letting you know, snow jokes, they're a thing. We're also talking with Thomas Hendricks, Program Manager for the Piedmont Council for the Arts, and
hello,
Alan Gafinski, Director of the Bridge Progressive Arts Institute.
They sound so important.
They do.
I know, right?
Really nice names.
So Alan,
it's better than our name because we sound. I mean, I like our name, but I'm always afraid that people will think that we're a show about pot.
Would that be a bad thing?
I want to chime in. I just want to say maybe you're giving our organization a little too much credit on the name. We're not an institute. We're just an initiative.
Initiative. I knew I was going to get something
wrong. Working its way up to institute.
Yeah, someday we'll be an institute. We'll hit a couple other qualifiers along the way.
Welcome, Mr. Bond, to the Progressive Arts Institute.
Yeah.
We have an institutional person here. Miss Artistic Kalinsky. She will
You've been watching Bond films lately? There's been some Bond references.
Always watching Bond films.
Oh, okay. So, Alan, when an artist comes to you and has something that they want, that has an idea of something they want to do, or has something they've already done that they want to put up in Charlottesville, what's your role in that?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. Because that's kind of crucial to what the bridge is all about, is trying to empower those community artists. So, my background, my relationship personally with art is super, it's one in the same with the word community. It's, like people and art just go hand in hand to me. Like my whole creative history personally has been community oriented and community focused and people focused. So that's one aspect of the bridge that I really value, walking into this role as director.
And you are the new director of the bridge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Brand new, really. Yeah. So
welcome to Charlottesville.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. I've been here in town for a few months now, and it's a wonderful town, and I feel really enthusiastic and lucky to be at the helm at the bridge here. In regards to what happens when an artist shows up with an idea in their head, step one is tell me everything. Tell me everything you want to know about it. And step two is, who else is doing something similar in town that we can plug you in with? Where else is there an artist or a spoken word artist who's got a similar focus in their work as you that we can pair you up with as an artist?
Because I know when the bridge started, they were talking about being the only cross-genre artistic organization. They were really interested in bridging the distances between, say, the dance community and the sculpture community and the theater community, and trying to find art that was cross-disciplinary.
Sure.
Is that still an aspect of
it? Absolutely. So, I mean, when Zach and Greg founded the bridge, they had a very forward-thinking, I would say, vision for what they wanted the organization to be in terms of what it means to bridge diverse communities through the arts. I mean, you think of the word diverse, and that can mean a lot of different things. That can mean anything from racial diversity and gender diversity and sexuality. It can also mean diverse art forms, and it can mean diverse subject matter. One thing about the bridge is that we're always trying to maintain this environment where everyone feels that they have liberty to use their voice in whatever that is. They can say what they want to say without judgment and without fear of retribution, or without feeling like someone's going to kick them out or judge them. That's a crucial element of where the bridge has been throughout its history, and it's right where it's going
to
stay.
Like you'd be able to do in, say, an Indiana State news organization.
Oh, Clinton. But no, that's something that is kind of hard to come by for a lot of artists, especially in a small hamlet like we live in. It's where a lot of times artists working in this town are feel like we feel claustrophobic in a way, because something that we want to do that we think would be artistically challenging, there is no place for us to do it because most of the organizations that put stuff up are volunteer organizations, so they don't have the money or the personnel to put something up that, you know, you take a chance on to see whether or not people would show up. So that, I mean, so a place where you can do that is vital to a small organization, small town like this.
Right. And I think as I remember those early days of the bridges, a lot of those early discussions, when we're talking about bridging the gap between different arts organizations and different arts groups, we were running into just what we were talking about, which is the flip side of which is the idea of competition between arts groups. And there were, and it was the type of things that we run into, which is, well, not just the logistics of schedules, but also like, well, we're already working on this and we're already working on all of our things. And if we share this with you, then what does that mean with the stuff that we're doing? And also, you know, there's only so much of a pot to pull from. And we're already spending so much time and so much energy trying to stay afloat and deal with our pot, we don't really have a lot of time and energy to look to reaching out and sharing. And
so, Thomas, how can PCA help independent artists who don't have a quote-unquote home to do what they do? How can PCA help them to have a dream realized?
Actually, I want to jump in before that.
Sure.
Because I still, to be honest, I still don't have a clear understanding of what PCA does.
Right.
And I wonder if I could throw that back to you and try to get that.
Sure. So PCA operates on a couple different levels, I'll say. So I, as the program manager, have very concrete things that I'm working on. Certain programs, Art in Place, this economic impact study, and Rising Stars being the top three. So our structural program, all of our economic data, and then, of course, the Youth Award Ceremony. So on my level, that is, I have very concrete initiatives, a very defined set bullet list, I guess.
Right, and then that's your level as program manager.
As program manager. And we are currently in the process of hiring an executive director who will do a little bit more higher level things, conversations more, I would say at its best, PCA functions as a NGO, a non-government organization on behalf of the arts in Charlottesville. So doing things like talking to the mayor, city council, talking to Alan, getting his needs, and talking to Live Arts and getting their needs, and all the other arts organizations in Charlottesville, and sort of being, I'll say, the spokesperson, I guess, for the arts, and then taking that to higher levels of the government and sort of advocating on behalf. So that is a piece that is not, I guess, in effect right now due to the vacancy of the executive director position, but one that will be happening soon.
You see, that's the piece that I was missing of the puzzle, because I got from what you were saying that there was advocacy, but the question was advocacy to whom?
Right.
Talk about the economic impact study, because it sounds like that's a key function of that type of advocacy, right?
It is. It's not the sexiest thing in the world, but it's basically... As you
That's know. Okay. All my exes say that I'm not the sexiest thing in the world, and yet I'm still here.
But
you're plenty sexy, Clinton.
Yeah, that sounds like their problem, not yours.
Right?
You.
You know, all I got to say to that is intelligence is the sexiest thing on the planet.
There we go.
And you've got a very big brain, my
and
friend.
A very great sweater.
And a good radio voice. That's what the ladies look for, right?
Who could ask for anything more?
What was the question again? I'm distracted now.
The question was, actually, before we hit that question, do we want to take our midway break? Do we want to talk about the... yeah, we do.
We do?
Before we hit that question, let's talk about some of the artistic things going on in town this week. Boom! Currently running from now until January 15th, Guys and Dolls at Live Arts Theater. And January 12th, Anti-Up Comedy Night at the Anti-Room. January 13th, two exhibits opening at the Bridge PAI, Trailer Park Witchcraft with Richmond's Titus Marcus and Portals by Charleston, South Carolina's Greg Bannock. Marcus typically works on canvas with acrylics, fabrics, and papers. His work has been described as intriguing to the point and mouth-watering. As a painter, Bannock says his work is derived from philosophical and metaphysical inquiries along with internal landscapes of portals to other realities. Can you dig that? It doesn't get more artsy than that. Check it out at the Bridge PAI. January 14th, Letters as Poems, a seminar at the Charlottesville Writer House with Rosalind Elliott. This 3.5-hour seminar will offer students an opportunity to read, discuss, and write poems in which the speaker addresses a specific person in letter format. Check it out. January 14th, also Looking Inward, Meditative Art Tour at the Fralin Art Museum of Art in UVA. Join June Heintz for an exploration of art through meditation. Once again, that's the type of freaky flavor. Flaky crunchiness that I want out of an arts organization. And for just some of the musical options that are open to you today, Tony LaRocco at Prairie Nada Farm Brewery, also Aaron Lunsford at the Glasshouse Winery, tomorrow ATM Unit at Rapture, January 10th, Red and the Romantics at Dirty Nelly's, and Bob Huntington and Travis Elliott at Fellini's. On January 11th, that's the day. Get ready, get your calendars cleared. January 11th, WHTJ's 10-year-old show, Charlottesville Inside Out, will have their 10th anniversary concert. Their 10th anniversary concert is going to have Gary Green, John Dearth, Robert Jospe, Butch Taylor, Daryl Rose, Devin Sproul, Charlie Pastafield, Bobby Reed, Ellis Paul, Peyton Tochterman, the Pollocks, the Music Resource Center dancers, and more.
Holy crap!
I am saying Charlottesville Music Throwdown. Plus, it's going to be hosted by the show's 10-year host, Terry Allard.
Holy crap! Okay, we are so going to that.
All at the Paramount Theater.
Because, you know, a lot of those people have, I don't know, been on the show.
just a few. January 11th, Paramount Theater. January 12th, Roots Rock from Pat Anderson at Dirty Nelly's. Also, Tyler Dick at Fellini's. January 13th, our friends Mojo Pie at Dirty Nelly's. Will Overman at the Pro Renata Farm Brewery. Michael Coleman Band at Lambeth Commons at UVA. Adar doing soulful originals and covers at the Whiskey Jar. And the Eli Cook Band at M&M Restaurant and Lounge. Eli. January 14th, Songwriters Night at Tavern on the James, Glass Betty at Heritage on Main, Two Wishes at James River Brewery, and the Pollocks at Batesville Market. Also January 14th and 15th, Larkspur, Lobo Marino, and DJ Eric Cross play at the Ix Art Park, where you can engage in face painting and mask making at the same time. Of course, every Monday is Singer-Songwriter Night at the local. Every Tuesday, the traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Tuesday also is the open mic night at the Ante Room. And Wednesday, your big night, open mic night at Pro Renata Farm Brewery. The Jazz Collective number 9 at Fellini's number 9. Quiet Fire at the Bebedero. The Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. And if you're not worn out by your hump day activities on Thursday, stroll on down to Miller's for the John Dearth Quintet. Because every once in a while, you just got to come down to Dearth. And that is just some of the wonderful artistic things going on in our wonderful artistic town. If you are an artist and have an event, please tell us about it. We'd like to tell people about it. Go to our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/homegrownWPBC. Or you can use our handy-dandy email address, homegrown947@gmail.com. 36 minutes past the hour, you're listening to 94.7 WPBC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And this is Homegrown, your show about local art, brought to you by the Blue Moon Diner. Blue Moon Diner, breakfast all day, every day, with brunch on Saturdays and Sundays, and carefully constructed diner food in the afternoons and evenings. And speaking of the evenings, the Blue Moon Diner is wonderful enough to support visiting and local artists for years this week. On Wednesday, it's Jim Wave. Oh, yeah. On Thursday, it's the perpetually touring experimental bassist CJ Boyd, and on Friday, Lucadora Acustica for your Mexican country garage surf punk Jones.
I'm sorry, the my what?
It's time for you to get your Mexican country garage rock surf punk fix.
Okay.
Friday Blue Moon.
Okay.
Friday,
you know,
Blue Moon.
I am so intrigued by that. I might have to actually go.
How can you not be?
Because that's a little different. It's what it is.
It is a little different.
A little different.
Stay tuned afterwards for the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call with your host, Sean McCord. Today's guest, Ray Netzel. Our man, Ray Netzel, who's been on the show before.
He has been on the show before. What is Ray talking about?
It's time for yet another 24/7.
Oh, my God. Again with that?
Again. And he's going to talk to Sean about it.
Oh, that's cool. No, I saw he announced the directors and the writers. So, yes, looks like a good group.
It does look like a good group.
I'm excited to see that.
24/7, always a good time.
I'm hoping I can get to it. I have promised my friend Nicole I would babysit the Teo.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, the Teo.
Well, the Teo.
Because he's so cute. He is. I went Friday night and got snuggles.
Did you?
I did. I had to get Teo snuggles. You know, it'd been a few weeks. I needed to get Teo snuggles.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Good. Let's snuggle back to our guests.
Okay.
All right, still with us, Alan Gafinski, director of the Bridge Progressive Arts Initiative.
Ding, ding, ding.
And Thomas Hendricks, program manager for the Piedmont Council for the Arts.
Hello, hello.
All right, Thomas, tell us about advocating for arts and this economic study.
Sure. So the economic impact, or Arts and Economic Impact Prosperity Study, is run by Americans for the Arts, which is a very large nonprofit out of Washington, D.C., that is sort of the mega version of PCA, I guess, on a national scale. So basically every 5 years, they do this very large economic impact study, which measures, quantifies arts audiences, arts donations, arts expenditures, arts revenues, pretty much all the whole grab bag of economic data that you would need to get a full picture of the arts in a given area. So PCA has been, and was 5 years ago, the designated organization to collect all this information, basically, which, as I said, is not the sexiest thing. But for arts administrators like Alan and myself and others in town, there is some real juice to it, because you get a full picture of the Charlottesville arts sector, and you can compare that to your own data and sort of see where you fit in the larger picture, and then use that data to advocate on your own behalf, and sort of, especially, I mean, it helps a lot when you're applying for grants, when you're making annual reports, when you're sort of defining your niche and your need in the community. So it's something that I said earlier, when PCA is its best self, it focuses mainly as an NGO for the arts. And this is one way to get a snapshot of Charlottesville, see how it's growing or shrinking, maybe, if it's, which I don't think it will be at all. And then helping other organizations use that information for their own benefit.
So, yeah, y'all out there in your cars listening may not think that's sexy, but me at the over here sitting at the helm of the Bridge Progressive Arts.
His mouth is watering.
I'm all about it. This is great stuff. Great stuff that they're doing over there.
Right, right. Because arts organizations frequently have to advocate for themselves.
Crucial,
I mean, consistently have to advocate for themselves. Mm-hmm. And I'm reminded of Kevin Spacey. Movie actor Kevin Spacey, movie and television actor Kevin Spacey. Mm-hmm. I think I'm right about this. I don't think a lot of people know about this. Is that before, at one point in his career, he was an arts administrator.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then went back. I think he had acting training and started as an actor, and then stopped and went and did arts administration for a while, because you can actually get jobs as an arts administrator, mm-hmm, as opposed to as an actor. And then, you know, somebody decided that he should act again.
Nice.
More fool they, right? But anyway, he gives really, really compelling talks about the importance of the arts, and not just the importance of the arts in a general sense, and in a metaphysical sense, but also the importance of the arts in terms of, in hard economic sense, and talks about how arts help communities economically.
Yeah, preach it.
Yeah, actually, there's statistics out there. The back in 2008 and even before, the ones that the communities that were most likely to survive things like recessions are ones that had really strong arts communities, really strong gay and lesbian communities, oddly enough, and sort of these what people think is more ephemeral or, you know, upper crust sort of things are actually signs of a really healthy community and things that get them through tougher economic times.
Yeah, see, it's the it's. And I don't know what you guys think about this, because it's the weirdest thing, because, and also, because the, you know, Alan, you're probably best set to talk about, again, the link between arts and communities, because it's so rare for arts organizations to exist just on ticket sales for any event. Right. Whatever art organization you're talking about, whether you're talking about the ballet, whether you're talking about live arts, whether you're talking about Victory Hall Opera, you know, almost all arts organizations are looking for alternative revenue. They're teaching classes. They need donations and survive on donations. And at the same time, there's this flip side where so on one level you could I could see and have spoken to people who've said, well, you know, you guys are sponges on the community. You guys can't support yourselves. I don't understand. You guys are like beggars. Why can't you, you know, if you don't have a product that can support itself just through, you know, just on, you know, on our basic commercial stage, then why should it be there and why should we prop you up? And at the same time, there's this other side where, you know, studies show that arts communities, that healthy communities are also artistic communities.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's the reality is if the bridge, if our number one concern was making money, we could put some tables in there, we could open a restaurant, or we could we could turn it into a bar with a music venue, and we could bring in all the best acts, you know, we could shoot for the, you know, the hot country music stars or something like that and get them to come through, but what we're trying to do as an arts organization, as a progressive arts organization, is fill a niche, meet a need in the community that can't be met in those traditional ways, that can't be met with bar stools and drinks. You know, this is an opportunity for not only emerging artists, but emerging art forms and emerging ideas, and that's the kind of thing that, for one, is really difficult to put a price tag on, because it is there's this sense of it being I don't know, almost like a, like, let me put it this way. So you want a vibrant community. You're not going to get a vibrant community by just doing the same old thing over and
right.
over again. Mm-hmm. You want to put do something where you're going to attract new life and new lifeblood into your community.
Right.
And you want to support the artists that need that stepping stone in order to get
to move to the next level.
Who are going to revolutionize what it means to be an artist, and that's where an organization like The Bridge and nonprofits that do what the kind of thing that we do, that's the niche that we fill.
Yeah, it's kind of like research, scientific research.
In a sense,
right. the NIH, they fund research that has no
nice.
Practical application. You know, it's just scientists saying, hey, we want to look at this and see what we find.
Right.
And they have and some of the hugest medical revolutions have come out of that kind of stuff. And this is the same thing. You want artists in a place where they can try different things and grow and change and who knows what they come up with.
And I will say, to Alan's credit, He and his organization, other organizations like him, are the ones taking on a lot of problems that other people don't necessarily want to take on.
Yeah, it's artists talking about social problems. It's that gritty stuff that,
and it's artists talking about, you know, their difficulties as artists, which can fall on deaf ears for those who aren't necessarily you know, in the community or don't see it as a top priority, especially when it's compared next to things like police spending or what have you.
Right.
And so it's interesting to see the arts as a whole in Charlottesville, because you need the large, more for-profit organizations like, you know, John Paul Jones Arena that are doing like the Taylor Swift concerts and things like that. Those are also arts organizations. But at another end, you do have, you know, people like the Bridge Progressive Arts Initiative, soon to be Progressive Arts Institute, who are helping out, sort
doing
of
arts research,
helping out the least of these, as we would say.
Right. So yeah, and then you know the reality is, you know, when you create this sort of open space, this sort of space for exploration and this sort of arena, not in the physical sense, but you know, this realm where there's this free exchange of ideas and there's this this give and take of story and
across pollination between what is theatrical and what is musical and what is visual art. When you find those connections, some really cool things can happen.
Exactly. and not only really cool things for the arts in the community, but for the community in general.
Yeah, for the audience.
You're opening up a whole new line of conversation. You're opening up people to experiences that they would never have had.
Right.
And that's what it's all about.
And people making connections about art that they never would have made.
I mean,
and we've talked with painters and sculptors on the show before about how they create something that speaks to their audience, like because it's all, in the end, it's all about audience, right? It's all about somebody coming to see what you do and having some sort of visceral connection to it. But a lot of people have trouble connecting to art forms that they think are not for them.
So
making those connections between sculpture and music or sculpture and dance can like open somebody up to be like, oh, sculpture, I never thought I would like that, but look at that, now I see it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I think an example of that is something that we're throwing together for the month of February.
Yeah, tell us what 2017's got for the Bitch PA.
Yeah, I'm happy to run down the list. Right off the bat, you know, we've got Titus Marquez and Greg Brannick. They're doing a joint show at the Bridge. Mixed media and painting artist doing some excellent stuff. Titus Marquez, his show is titled Trailer Park Witchcraft. He's a Richmond artist, and Greg Brannick is a local Charlottesville artist. His show is titled Portals. We're doing an opening for that show on January 13th. January 16th, we've got a Martin Luther King Day event. We're doing a free... Yeah, that's right. A free film screening of Freedom on My Mind, which is a really critically acclaimed, award-winning documentary. And it will be followed by a sort of responsive performance by the Presence Center for the Applied Arts, for Applied Theater Arts. And that's going to be happening at 5 o'clock on January 16th. Find out some more information on Facebook about that. We've got some snacks and a light home-cooked meal for you.
Ooh.
If you're coming straight from
throwing down some soul food over there.
That's right. Hopefully. Feel free to bring something, you know? January 20th, we're looking at an Inauguration Day potluck event. We got more information on that to come. Maybe peaceful, you know, it'll be a peaceful gathering, maybe a creative writing activity. We'll be collecting specific and needed donations for the International Rescue Committee. We'll be also on January 20th, if you stick around after that, at 8 o'clock, Bent Theater. We'll be doing their improv thing that night.
Oh, so yeah, we love Bent.
That'll be crucial, especially on Inauguration Day. I'm sure there's plenty of
healthy
fodder for that. January 25th, we've got our monthly open mic night.
All right, I need a minority group that you want to hate. And I need an ethnic group that you want deported. All right.
See, no. Don't give Andy those ideas.
You're giving away the whole show.
Yeah, right?
We need a word from the audience. Sad. Loser.
Right. Misogynist. Go.
So, yeah. And then January 25th is every fourth Wednesday, the open mic night that occurs at the Bridge. January 27th is January's installment of the Charlottesville reading series, hosted by Julia Kudravitz and Rebecca Taylor. They're excellent. They're doing great things. They're bringing in Matthew McFarland, Erica Kavanaugh, and Greg Wren to read. It's going to be excellent. And then a little preview of February as well, as we've got a show going in organized by Emma Brodeur. The title is Empowering Women of Color. It's a group show. And I think that is just a beautiful, beautiful thing, crucial thing.
Very cool.
And it really, really sums up what the bridge is all about. Am I right?
Why are you looking right at me at that, Alan? Huh? Why?
Well, you're the one in the microphone over there. You're standing in front of me. I gotta look at someone.
What I have to deal with.
I gotta look at someone.
Every Sunday.
Oh, whatever. No,
but you better
awesome.
Be there.
No, that sounds awesome. Thank you guys so much for coming and talking to us. I'm really happy that that PCA is back in the mix, because I know a lot of artists have been like, where are they? They left us.
Awesome.
And you know, Clinton and I have always been big supporters of the bridge. So thank you, Thomas and Alan, for coming and talking to us.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for what you're doing here.
Yeah, thank you.
Crucial.
53 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Homegrown, show about local art, and now it's time for Leslie's weekly rant.
Why, thank you, Clinton. This week, I wanted to talk about something near and dear to my heart. My vagina. I've known old girl for a minute. She's been with me through it all. That first time when, bless his heart, he didn't know what he was doing. The college years where they still didn't know anything, but they thought quantity made up for quality. The exploration years when a woman showed me how it was supposed to feel. Through two children, a couple of surgeries too, she's been my running partner all my life. And we still look damn good, I'm happy to say. Oh, girl ain't never let me down, although she may complain every once in a while. She's a ride or die chick, you know what I mean? Over the years, I've always encountered men and a couple of women who wanted ownership of her. Oh, yeah, you wouldn't believe, or maybe you would, how many people think that me and my girl didn't have a mind of our own. And there's always been one or 300 or so degenerates in D.C. who haven't ever met me and my girl, but want to have something to say about what we do. And they write serious about it, too. They have made laws about what my girl and I are able to do. In my leaner years, when I didn't have health insurance, I had to rely on Planned Parenthood for my female health needs. There's breast cancer in my family, and I had cervical cancer, so screenings and regular checkups are important. Did you know that abortions only count for 3% of what Planned Parenthood does? So you're probably asking, what else do they do, right? Over 600,000 pap smears and breast exams, over 2.9 million birth control prescriptions, over 4.2 million HIV and STD tests and treatments for men and women, over 680,000 cancer screenings, 1.1 million pregnancy tests and prenatal visits, 95,000 medical services, adoption referrals, and family practice services for men and women. That's the other 97% of what Planned Parenthood does. No one talks about the adoption counseling or the domestic violence prevention classes. No one talks about the classes they offer LGBTQ youth about the struggles of coming out. No one talks about the excellent care they give women and men every day who couldn't otherwise afford it. And yes, you heard that correctly. Planned Parenthood offers classes, screenings, tests, and treatments for men too. All they want to talk about is the abortions. No one talks about what happens to an unwanted child when a woman is forced to become a mother. No one wants to talk about how women are shamed and belittled into having babies while they are still babies themselves. But everyone wants to talk about millions of families on welfare who can't stop having children and how horrible that is. No one wants to step up and help take care of all of the children they claim they are saving. I mean, if you're standing outside holding a sign calling me a murderer, then I guess you're willing to come help with 3 a.m. feedings and buying school clothes. If you're going to yell vile slurs at me while I walk in, then you'll be by later to pick up the toys and babysit the kid while I go to my third job so I can buy groceries, right? Wait, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. That's what I thought you said. Nothing. Let me just say one more thing before I leave here today. Me and my girl been making decisions about ourselves for 43 effing years now, and we done pretty damn good. So, if you have a vagina, I may listen to your advice, but the decision is still mine. Because this is me and my girl's journey, not yours. And if you don't have a vagina and you're still worried about abortions, have a vasectomy and shut up. And that's the weekly rant.
Well, well, well said, Leslie. You know what? You just got me worked up. I think I'm going to go out there and find those people right now. And just anyone who's going to want to put their gig
right
up in Washington.
I'm joining you. We're in the truck right now.
I'm going to warm up the car. Jesus freaking.
Yeah, go warm up the truck. There you go. I'll be with you. I'll be right there. Yeah, so Clinton and I are going to take a little road trip. You know, pray for us. We want to thank Thomas Hendricks, Programs Manager for Piedmont Council of the Arts, and Alan Gavinsky, Director of the Bridge Progressive Arts Initiative, for being our guests today. Check them out. If you need help, you've got an idea, go see Thomas. He's the guy. You guys have a great week, and we will see you next time.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.